In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana.
It's so great to be back. I see you settled into your new apartment.
We're settling. I think
settling.
I found a good spot with good lighting to do our Zoom. We're missing a couch, but you know, it's nice to have like a home and now we're in like the how do we make it ours phase.
Have you had any disagreements about like the kinds of places you want to put stuff together?
I think the disagreement we have is that I don't care at all. which is such a weird disagreement. There we get in these constant things where she'll go, like, I wish I could have told myself like a month ago, I wish I started practicing how to look excited about shit I don't give a shit about. Like, I wish I practiced.
It's a very useful skill in a relationship.
Oh my God. Because she brought up, did I talk about this already with you? We haven't taped since I moved in, right?
I think last week we taped, you were right about, just about to.
So we were still in the studio. So now we're in this one bedroom place that's in the same building that Jess was in before. And, you know, she looked at me and she was like, remember how she goes, remember how when we want to put the pan down, we can't put it down?
Well, yeah, you didn't tell me this.
She goes, I found hot plates. I guess like pads that you could put hot stuff onto. And I'm like, cool. And then she was like, she's like,
and I'm like, I totally get it. I totally am on her side with this one.
How excited do I have to be about hot plates? About
it's
pads
more just like, oh, like I came up with this, like we're on a team now, and like I came up with a solution to like the issue that we were encountering as a team.
I get like, it. The way you're putting it right now, yes, that's fair.
That's how I think of it. I mean, like Mike's the same as you. He like doesn't get excited about anything. It's very annoying.
But what am I supposed to do? And I said to her, I was like, what do you want me to do? Start dancing around the room. Hot plate. Oh, ooh, we got the hot plate. Hot, 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 hot. Like I was like, do you want me to do a fucking raise a chair?
Do you remember that movie?
Dancing around.
Do you remember that movie Knocked Up?
Yes.
And like the relationship between like Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd in that movie where they're like always fighting. And I remember there's this one scene that's just like very accurate where like she's like circling like the child molesters like in the area on a map so that they can like avoid them or something, and she's like telling him about it, and he's like, okay, cool. He's like giving her like shit for it, and she's like what, this is for like the safety of our children, like why don't you care, like care more.
Need you to care. You can't tell someone to do that. Like I like when we moved from downstairs to upstairs, she kept being like, well, what do you think of this closet? And I would go, good to go. Like I was like, there's, and I had to say at a certain point, I was like, I have no creative opinion on any, like, I want whatever makes you happy. Like I genuinely do want that. That makes, seeing her happy makes me happy. So,
right.
I said, when we move, like, I was like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'll get the closet and then I'll move the clothes and I'll do this. I was like, I am a donkey. Treat me as a donkey. You put the stuff on my back. I travel it up the mountain. I come back down for more stuff to be put on my back. That's all. I want to know that I'm doing a good job. Like if you say, and we started to like get on the same page. She was like, okay, get everything out of this closet. And I'm like, that's the perfect task for me.
Right. Then you're just like, instead of paying someone, you're just someone she like instructs what to do.
Right. Yes,
that's, you settled into that groove.
I said like all I want to do is for you to say clear the closet. I put my headphones on. I listen to a podcast. I clear the closet. Good job, Jared. Right. Here's what? Your treat.
Well, I actually think that's like the key to living together successfully is for like you everyone to kind of understand what their role is. Because the issue is when people are kind of like expecting when the other there's no expectations. So like we've gotten to this thing before where I'm like, oh, I'm cleaning up after everything and like you're not doing anything. He's like, well, what do you want me to do? So now if I'm cleaning things up, I'll be like, take out the garbage.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, or you just like, and they're he's happy to do it. It's just more like they need to be like assigned or they as in like men.
And you're trying to figure out, you know, what that is, what the dynamic is. And that takes, you know, that's why like when couples, you hear a lot of couples that don't fight at all. And they're like, that was our problem. It's because fighting is communicating. Like,
right. Otherwise, you're just like resentful.
Yeah, I mean, right now we are in a currently there's an argument going on right as we speak.
Let's hear it.
Well, I told her I had a busy day. I've been up front. Friday is a mess. Friday, I got to do J train. I got to go work out on the roof. I got to go do you up. I got to do another J train. I'm doing this game show tonight. And it's been discussed. Like I said, I got ahead. Like Friday is a day. So okay. I went, and as you know, I was late for this now. So this is all part of it. So I worked out from 10:30 to 11:30, and then I had from 11:30 to 11:45 to eat and get myself in position to do a Zoom for my other podcast.
Okay.
So I get down at 11:30 and I'm immediately in rush mode. Like I'm like, okay, got to get my coffee, got to get my oatmeal, got to get my shake, got to set up in front of the window where the lighting's good. You know, like I'm in that mode. And then she goes, well, oh, I'm going to make a shake now. I should make the shake now too, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah. Like as I'm like rushing around to do my thing, like I was up front. I was like, this is like these 15 minutes are crucial to getting through. And then so then, you know, now I'm making my shake. Now she's behind me going on the shake going, how does it go? What's going on? And I look over. I go, push on the thing. Now I'm doing her shake with my shake and the oatmeal and I'm trying to eat it in 15 minutes. Then all of a sudden she disappears and I hear a loud crash, like a huge crash. And she goes, ow. And I go look over and I don't mean to laugh, but she's got like a cut on her toe because one of the frames fell on her toe. And I'm like, listen, and she's fine. Don't worry, everybody, you know? I wasn't mad or like, and then I come over, I go, are you okay? And she's like, and then she goes, look, my toe. And I go, well, we're not just going to stare at it. Do you need a Band-Aid, Neosporin? Like, I'm trying to like fix shit. I'm trying to get to 11:45 with breakfast eaten. Like, I felt like I was like, you know, and then she's looking at me like, well, why would you, you're not being caring enough. You know, I hurt my toe. You didn't even check in with me after. Right. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But this only happened because we're all rushing around trying to get where we're going when you had an hour that I wasn't here to do your shake, to do the, you know, grab the thing that made the thing fall. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like.
Right. I think it's. I've had that fight, too, where it's like. It's just that. But then in this case, like the toe thing is a metaphor for like her actual issue with you.
So but that was
like,
the thing.
Show me you care more.
So I finish while I'm late for this podcast. I'm trying to convert everything on the computer and do all the things that we've now come accustomed to doing. And she comes over and I go, I'm sorry. Are you okay? How's your foot? And she's like, oh, you didn't even come in to check on me. I'm like, well, and then we're having this kind of talk about this argument. And I go, well, I go, let's go back a step. You knew I was coming back with 15 minutes to spare. And like my issue is that like this became like breakfast time for both of us when you knew I had this. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, that's a very specific quarantine issue, I think, more though. I mean, like it could happen regularly. But like when you're now sharing the same space and you both have your own separate work days with your own separate pressures and times where you have to be like more in the zone and more like relaxed. There's a sense of like, you're not understanding my experience because like your day is going totally different than mine.
Totally.
And I need things from you and I don't get that. Like, we're, and on the weekend, everyone's like pretty much in the same, like, oh, maybe not for you since you're like,
but no, but I think that's fair because, you know, the schedule different thing is tough too, because, you know, for me and probably you too, there's no like 9 to 5, like,
right.
You could get a call at 7 that's like, get on your phone. We're doing a Zoom meeting because something happened at Betches, and you would go and do it. That's the reality of your life. For right. me, like, you know, I get a lot of shit because I'm on my phone all the time, and I'm like, yeah, my phone is like my extension to this world that I'm trying to build. Like, I'm trying to have people, like, I'm trying to post like 3 times a day on Instagram, have my tweets go out, have the videos go out, and I'm constantly, there's no check in and check out. So
right.
that's hard for like someone who does check in and check out to understand sometimes.
Right. Or it's hard for them to even like really, I think, compute that you're also working, because it seems yeah. like you're like fucking around, because that's like
Which
the nature of a job where you're providing yeah. content.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, it's a weird time. Usually, I mean, it's funny. I think it's, I know a couple people who've moved in together around this like time. And I think it's like a very interesting to have like that be your first experience living with someone. Cause like I said before, like that's really not, this isn't really what it's like to live with someone.
Yeah. Well, also we, like people have asked me
this is
a
what
lot
it's like to be in like prison with someone.
Yeah, sure. We are having fun though. Like we do have yeah. moments where we're like, man, this is like, we do genuinely feel lucky to be around one another, like, the, you know, and with someone that I, you know, that I like, you know, I yeah. can't imagine being in an apartment with someone I didn't like and that I didn't enjoy, that I didn't have fun with. I'm sure there's people out there. Like, I mean, like the stats will well, show themselves.
Yeah. I think it really makes you evaluate your relationship because it's really like, there's nothing, there's, you can, I think you get to really see at the end of the day, like, do I actually like hanging out with this person? Cause there's really yeah. like no distractions. There's no like events that can lead you, like, you know what I mean? That you're distracted by, or things that are going on, or like you're in, or going to different environments. Like you really like, if it's like you like them or you don't.
Yeah. I want to ask you this question because this is a hard question. I think we can only do it on this podcast because we know the background of this conversation is that people are having tough times, especially, you know, in the medical field. What is the best part of this quarantine for you?
What is the best?
Yes. Because people have trouble saying that, like, there's certain things that, like,
that are good. Yeah.
That are good. Like, you can't, life is gravity. It goes up and it goes down. Like, mm-hmm. you saying what, and I think people are afraid to say it because they're like, well, I don't want to sound like I don't care, or I don't, you know, whatever.
Well, you don't want to sound like you're minimizing the struggle of like saying your positive experience. You're minimizing the struggle who like of someone yeah. who like actually is having a terrible experience.
Yeah. With that in mind, what's going? What have you enjoyed?
With that in mind, understanding how that might come off, I would have to say the best part is that I'm saving a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
I've learned how to do things for myself that I like have just put off because like I'm lazy and I don't care and I was never forced to. Like mm-hmm. I know how to make coffee now.
Wow.
That's really interesting to me. I'm 30 years old. I go to Starbucks literally 7 days a week.
I love that.
And I've been forced to learn how to make my own coffee. And now that I've done it for like a month, I feel like the world's biggest douchebag because I was always like, oh, like, that's like a poor thing or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, but are you taking pride in it now? Or are you like, well,
I am.
I feel like,
oh, I'm like self-sufficient. I work out on like with like a home app and I've been spending like hundreds of dollars a month on boutique fitness classes for the past 6 years. And now I'm like, oh, I just feel like, oh, there's way better ways to do things that I would have never tried. Cause I'm just kind of like, I like my routine. I don't really want to switch it up. And now that I have, I'm like, this is way better than whatever I was doing before.
Mm. Yeah. I listen, I've been taking a lot of walks. Love a walk.
Where are you walking?
Anywhere and everywhere. Just all around. Walking walking there. Headphones on. Having talks on the phone. I'm calling people more.
That's true.
Really
yeah, that's nice. It's like I kind of almost see my friends more now, like virtually, than I did before.
Those virtual happy hours, they're fun, or like the virtual Zoom meetings. Yeah. I get so fucked up, and then I end up like bringing it back to dating and relationship. Like I go on these Zoom calls with like all my married friends. Yeah. And then, like, I'll make jokes. Like, we had one dude that was taking the Zoom call from his car. And I was like, and I just kept making fun of the fact that I was like, well, we know that guy's, marriage is in shambles. He's in the car drinking a beer. And, like, it's hiding. So funny to do that joke for men that are, like, in the married world where they're like, it might be, you know, like, they, you know, you don't know what to like press on, and it's like when you're around,
you don't want to hit like too close to home.
Yeah, and we're
it's kind of like if it wasn't true at all, you could say it, and it would be like
fine.
But it's like when you make a joke about something that has like strong elements of truth, then it becomes like uncomfortable.
It also, yeah, absolutely. And I think marriage is tough enough without, you know, jokey McJokestein coming in and being like, hey, drinking in the car, you must hate your life. You know, like, I think everyone's like, everyone knows they're one, you know, argument away from being in their car taking a Zoom call.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely true.
I mean, that's kind of been like the realization of like when you move in with someone, it's like, you're living with the argument. There's nowhere to go. Where are you going to go?
Yeah. And I mean, there's nowhere to go. I kind of like that because like I have this like deeply ingrained fucked up fear of being like left.
Yeah.
So I love this.
Especially now in the quarantine, no hotels open. You can't even stay in a hotel.
I'm saying, it's like, no, not me. I'm like, oh, if you leave, I'm staying here. I'm like, if you leave me, you're just going to die. And then like it solves the whole issue.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Yeah, are you ready to do some emails? You ready to get into this?
Yeah, let's do it.
What are we talking about today? Everyone, listen, we appreciate, we've gotten so many messages of people being thankful that we're still doing the podcast. Of course we're still doing it. We're going to be here every week. All you got to do, share, share, share.
We will be here until the end of time.
Until the end of time. So, but We need you, Mr. and Mrs. Listener. We need you, Ms. Listener. You got to share it. And right now, people want content. Someone in your life needs to take their... I think podcasts are the perfect way to take your brain, put it on the shelf, and put us in there instead. With you get your thoughts, your shitty thoughts, making anxious and wondering about the future, put them on the shelf. Let Jordana and I take the wheel for an hour. And you have a friend in your life that needs that. So keep also sharing. Make it your Instagram story.
If you like the show, rate, review, and subscribe to it on anywhere you subscribe to podcasts.
Rate, review, subscribe. That is, there are ways. Like, listen, we have sponsors. We want you to support the sponsors. We give you free money for every sponsor. But how do you support the show? You can do it in free ways, too. You get to listen for free, and you can support us for free by liking, sharing, subscribing, sharing. Boom.
Do it. So now we're about a month into this quarantine situation, maybe a little more, right?
Mm.
And I think it's interesting. I mean, like, we're in relationships, but a lot of people who are single have been, like, trying to do this, like, dating over FaceTime thing. And
sure,
I do feel like there is a sense of, at least from anecdotally from people I've spoken to, that there is, like, a fatigue with it, or it's kind of like, yeah, what's the point? Do you know what I mean?
I've talked to my brother about it. And
I talked to my brother about it as well.
Yeah, we went to the brothers. And yes, my brother was basically like, you know, I do think you can find a text conversation that feels different than the everyday Joe and Jim. Like, I do think you can distinguish between someone you're connecting textually with and someone you're not. And the how's your weekend person versus the, oh, I think we're joking in the way I would joke with my friends. I do believe that. And his response was, and I said, then I go, and the people you have that experience with, the ones that feel like family, the ones that feel like your friends, those are the ones you go on Zoom dates with. Those are the ones you go walk with. Those are the ones you do the different things that are a little uncomfortable with. And he was like, I just don't want to do that. And he was like, I think it's a, and I was like, well, why not? I go, and in my opinion to him was, then you must not like these people. And he goes, no, I just don't want to do that. It feels, and I think for guys, and a lot of women are finding this, that are saying the guys don't want to do Zoom dates. Guys see that as like, actually, that's like, but that's like the, you're taking away the casual first date.
Right. From what I've heard, it's sort of a similar sentiment. Was that like, yeah, you could do a FaceTime date or you could do a Zoom date, and it, like, you get to see the person. It feels like a little bit in some ways better, but it also has this weird, like, formal feeling to it. Like, it's not, yeah, like in the same, you can't like have this casual first date in the same way where you can be like flirtier or like looser. Like, there is a sense of like, I'm on a conference call with a date potentially. Sure.
Well, that, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I'll speak to that. I can rebut that. That's when you have to take you have to set it up. If you went and got a massage in your bedroom, it would feel fucking weird. If you went and got a massage in your office, it would feel weird. If a massage artist, a massage therapist came in your office, set up the lights, put up the drapes, put down the bed, had the music playing, lit the candle, your office wouldn't feel like your office anymore. So I think that's part
of it. But you can only control your own office space. You can't be
But that's part of going on the Zoom date with someone. Hey, do you want to do a Zoom date this Thursday at 8? Cool. Let's do a theme. Like, I think people have to stop. I think like people
make sure the lights aren't on too bright.
Well, turn down the lights and let's do a theme. Let's do tiki theme, and I'm going to do a different drink and you do a different drink. I think you have to be uncomfortably prepared for these things. And when you're not doing that, that means you don't want to really get serious. And I want to ask you about this. Like, what, like, to me, this is the saving grace to so many women that we get here from. Like, if a guy won't go, the guys don't want to go on the Zoom date because they don't want to go on a date with someone that might not end up in fucking. So
At least that's not for the next month or so.
But that's the reality. So guys don't want to go on a Zoom date with you because there's no chance to fuck. So why would they want to hang out with someone they don't really like? So you're getting the fucking honest answer. So, like, I think from a female point of view, we get so many emails are like, well, we went on three dates. What was his problem? Well, he was there to get fucked the whole time.
So you're saying if someone wants to go on a Zoom date, then they want something more than sex.
I'm not saying that's definite. I'm saying at least you have someone who's interested in going on a date where sex is off the table. Like, when we talked about Love is Blind, we were like, wow, Love is Blind really set up well for men. It made them look better. I think that's because they had
the men who agreed to go on it.
Yeah. So on Love is Blind, those men, they're meeting all these women, and then like they became like so into these relationships, and everyone was like, well, and then everyone, remember we even talked about on that review episode where we were like, well, the women kind of look bad, and it's because they were willing to give guys more of a chance than maybe the guys would. And most guys, when they're dealing with their penis, the penis is a fucking strict dictator.
Yeah.
So he's looking at the penis is sitting there going, I don't need a fucking Zoom call. I'm not going to have fun on that. Like, so I think like with a lot of women that are like I would feel blessed by the opportunity to say to someone, hey, let's do a Zoom date. Because if you're on the
it weeds out the guys who are just looking to have sex.
Absolutely. But I do think there's other ways to go about it. But I'm like, for this specific rebuttal, when I hear it from women, I'm like, I kind of get like, I understand the, like, it's not that casual. But then I'm like, well, now you're just blaming everything else for your own lack of creativity.
Right. I think there is a sense also because no one's sure when this is going to end, where they're like, should I try to figure out how to make this form of dating like really work for me? Or should I just like wait a month and then date normally?
Do you want to read the email first?
Email. We can get into it. Hey, love the podcast. I've rated, reviewed, and subscribed. Thank you. I've been single and in the dating game in Boston since August. I'm wondering what advice and insight you have for single people trying to date during social distancing. I'm on the dating apps. I've had Zoom and FaceTime dates, and I've gone on 6-foot social distancing walks. All the options right now feel unsatisfying and relatively disappointing with no prospect of taking things further.
See, if I went on a six foot social distancing walk, I'd bring like a pole, like that would be fun, and like don't go near the pole
with your glove.
We'd hold it. Like where are we? Like, let's put some fucking thought into these things. Yeah, sorry, dude.
Right. It's hard and boring to keep texting and Zooming with someone on a long-term basis when I don't know if I'd be physically attracted to them in person or how long it will be until social distancing is over. I was having fun dating before all this, and I can feel as though I've given social distance dating a real chance, but the dating world is feeling very dark and increasingly hopeless. Honestly, it's sad and hard to hear people complaining about their partners they're living with. At least you have a person to touch and be near. Got any tips of wisdom that could help me hang in there and maintain hope? Thanks for all that you do. Sincerely, Home and Alone, bored in Boston.
Yeah, I see. This is the other, like, I get this. I understand because right now people are meeting more people than maybe they would have before the quarantine. Like, you might be talking to like 6 different people or 2 different people or whatever the number is for you. And you might be thinking like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, how many walks can I go on? I do understand that. I empathize with it. I'm not meaning to sound like I'm brushing. What would you do?
Right. I think it's kind of the thing, a thing where it's kind of like, if you're not enjoying it and you're not having fun, just like we would say with the dating apps, like take some time off of it and then like get back into it when you feel like you're like more excited to like meet a new person. Or maybe like, I think another part of it is like lowering the stakes of it. So instead of thinking like, oh, I need to go out and like find a boyfriend and I need to go out and like meet someone who I can be with for the rest of my life, it's more like, oh, like I'm bored, I'm not doing much else, and here's a thing that could be fun, it could be weird, if it's not fun I'll leave, and like I'm just trying something out to kind of like feel like the stakes are lower in it, I think will make anything more fun. So I think people who are like, oh, I'm using this time to like really like find a mate, are probably going to wind up disappointed, just like they would on the apps. If you're going on dates on the apps, because you're like, I need a boyfriend, and if that doesn't happen, this whole thing was a waste. then like, yeah, you're going to feel like fatigued and like over it. But if you're kind of like, oh, I'm just going to like meet new people. And if I meet someone cool, that's great. And if I don't, whatever, I really didn't lose much.
Yeah. I have an idea for this person. I'm with you. I think lowering the stakes, that's part of the idea. And what you're saying is exactly right. You're on the app. It's supposed to be fun. It's something to break up the day. Good for you. In quarantine times, I'm sure it feels like somewhat of a gift at sometimes just to be able to talk to someone new. I get that. What I would do is if I was someone out there, I would have a notebook called my dating notebook. Okay?
Frank
this thing out. So I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think we live in ridiculous times. So why wouldn't you get it? I would take a notebook out, and everyone I meet, I'd write their name down. And I'd write good conversation, bad conversation, things I like, things I didn't like, and let the conversation go away. Because what you're saying is exactly right. People are, for whatever reason, putting these quarantine convos on a pedestal. They have just as much a shot of working out as anyone you meet. All the other shitty dates. 9 out of 10 people you meet aren't the one. The 10th one ends in divorce 50% of the time. So everyone you're talking to me, I would use this time because people, you know this from Betches, and I know this from my own socials, people are just looking at their phone more than they were before. People are interacting with social media more than they were before. People are interacting with dating apps more than they were before. So while this is happening, take this as an opportunity to put together a whole roster of dudes or chicks. And then when the time, and then you say hi, have your conversation, great talking to you. Hey, when this whole thing breaks up, maybe we should get together. We'd love to do that. Stop talking. Right. Don't go any further. Write down the good and bad of the conversation. And then when it comes back, you go back on the app and you go, hey, just wanted to say what's up. Would love to get that drink tonight because I'm free tonight. And you make it happen quick because dating app dates have to happen quick. If they don't happen quick, they're not going to happen at all. So you go on a night that you're looking to go out. Now you have this list of people.
Now you've
from
got
the
a little black
app.
Book.
Now you got a little black book and you go, hey, I want to go on a date with someone. You go to the list and you go the top 10. You go, all right, I'll ask this person. Hey, I'm down to go out tonight. You want to go out? And they'll go, yes, no, or maybe. Okay, move on to the next one. Hey, I'm getting drinks tonight. You want to get a drink? And I know that puts that, what that sounds, what this is practical. People listening are going, oh, well, that's not very romantic. Well, life isn't romantic. The reality isn't romantic. The numbers aren't romantic. This is a numbers game, and right now you have access to more numbers than you did before. So why don't you wrangle up a list of people, and then when the time comes, and then you have your conversation and let it end, let it fizzle out, and you go, hey, and it's okay to say to someone, hey, I can't wait for this to end, and would love to try and get a drink when it does. And then you reach out to them. Make it happen quick.
I like that idea a lot. It gives you more control over the situation.
Yeah.
So you're not like, oh, like I'm like just in this weird in between phase. You're more control. It also, I think it's also like historically going to be like a very interesting thing. Now you have like us again, a sort of like mini diary of sorts of your time in this period when it was like so weird to be dating or doing anything. And you have like memories from like this time in your life, which is going to be very weird.
And here's the other thing is, listen, you know, it kind of stops you from saying getting carried away. It kind of stops you. You have your convo. You get to know each other enough to know that you want to get a drink. And then when that time comes, you go, hey. And then the worry is, well, what about in 2 months? Are they going to be weird that I grew? No. No one's going to be.
No one's going to care.
No one's going to care. I've never met a guy who is like, can you believe this chick out of nowhere wants to go get drinks with me on a random Wednesday night and see what happens? Oh, the horror. What a weird.
What a desperate
that's never happened.
Loser.
Yeah, it's like, no, you had a good conversation. Quarantine's over. I'm out. Let's hang out tonight.
Right. I had a question for you also just regarding like What are your predictions for when this thing is over? Do you feel like it will have any effect on like men's reluctance to commit?
No. I think I think what's going to happen after this, I don't think like all of a sudden like all these fuckboys are going to be like, I saw my future and it was lonely and the ghost of fuckboy future visited me and told me I'll be alone forever. Like, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I do think what's happening right now is people are becoming more in touch with how they like to live. So I think people are going to be more in touch with their taste. So I, you know, like when the beginning of this started, and we get emails like this all the time that are like, I don't like how my significant other is handling the right. self-distancing. And you go, all right, well, that's the same as not paying the bill. You just don't like that part of them. And I want to credit Mateo Lane, who's been on our show before. He said something to me that I was like, this is so true, and I want to make sure everyone, Mateo's fucking hilarious, go follow him. But he said something so true that really hit home for me. He's like, the quarantine isn't revealing, isn't making people worse or making people better. It's just revealing who they are. And okay. I think a lot of people are revealing to themselves who they are. Hey, I went home and hung with my parents. I guess I'm not as much as I guess I know that I'm not ready for certain things in my life. So again, becoming more in touch with their taste. Oh my God, I was at home in my apartment and I kind of liked my alone moments and I kind of wish there was someone there, but I wouldn't want someone there that wasn't a rock for me. You know what I mean? Like now they right. know the taste. Like I think if you take ownership of the things you like and don't like, you're going to be a better buyer. I don't think that you're necessarily going to find better things on the shelf, but you yourself will be a better, I think.
Right. And you have you'll leave less room for bullshit. Cause I feel you'll realize that it's unnecessary too.
But we talk about that all the time where it's like, it takes time to figure out what you like and don't like in a partner. And it takes dating people to know that too. Like, you know, it takes doing one night stands to realize you don't like one night stands.
Right.
You know, you can think you don't, but then you have that one night where you do it and you go, oh, I really don't. This is part of that. This is part of learning what you're looking for in a partner. Don't you? What do you think? Do you think women are going to like come out of this with a different?
Well, it's funny because I have a friend and she's like, yeah, my grandma, like after World War II, like the men came home and she got 8 different marriage proposals. which was funny because I guess like, I mean, in that scenario, the men are off at war. They haven't seen a woman in years. They come back. They're like, you know, I got it. And I think it's a different scenario because those were times where like there wasn't a lot of casual hooking up.
Sure. I mean, also the other difference is there's, as we said in the beginning, some people's lives are improved by this. And
right.
You don't want to believe that sounds like
I mean, in World War II, when all the men left, that's when women started actually going to work. And I mean, like that
going to
debatable
work,
debatable whether or not that's an improvement for us. But
well, you come back that. But also the men came back and their lives, they left bad lives at war for better lives at home.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, there's some men out there that are like, their pay didn't change. The only thing that changed is that they got to wear sweatpants.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there like that. And I think because of how serious this is and because of how the news is right now and how everything is like being, you know, everything is on edge and anxious, we forget that like there are some, like, I mean, look at some of the social media people that got kind of taken down. Like, there are some people that are living differently than the normal Jim and Joe. There are some people that like that are going, we're in this together. And then you see a pool in the background of their Instagram story and you go, well, we're not, I don't have a pool. You know, like, you know, I don't know how in together we actually
invite
are.
Invite me so, over and then we're in this together, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think I did see an article where like it interviewed like, I don't know, it was like the Washington Post like interviewed women of every age that are living alone. And I don't know why they did that piece.
That sounds interesting. Send it to me.
I'll send it to you, but I just saw the title because I saw that and I was like, man, that's the saddest title I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't know if I can.
Like a woman living with no chaperone?
No.
Left to her own
that,
devices?
But not meaning that. Like, just let's see what these people alone have to say about their experience. It's like I didn't want to read what an 80-year-old woman is like, going, there's, yeah, exactly. It's sad. And so.
It is sad. So, yeah. I mean, I was thinking more like 20 and 30 or something.
Yeah.
But like.
I don't know. I don't know how this changes men. I do think people come out of this and I think they're going to do like the first week will be a lot of like first week mistakes, like running into a penis that you should have stayed away from.
Right. Cause you're so starved for physical touch.
Yeah. But I do believe people are going to realize what they like and want in a partner more. Right. And also, like, those relationships that ended before the quarantine, like, they're going to come back around. They're going to go, well, now that I don't have to be with you all day long, like, I do think people were put face-to-face with their relationship based on, I think you and I probably the same thing. We're talking about, you're living with someone, you're like, oh, man, this is, like, I have a lot of moments where I'm like, ooh, I'm happy Jess is here.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes you I think it gives you a lot of gratitude. You feel like grateful that you are like, I mean, we're both in one bedroom apartments in New York City. So it's not like we're like living in the like large mansions and have, but it's like, so, and I think now more than ever, it really is less about like where you are and more about who you're with and who you're spending time with. So it does, I think, make you grateful if you have a good situation where you feel like, I feel like I'm going through this with someone and it feels like good and you feel like really happy to be there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's gonna happen for single people too. Like I think like you're done with what you said is right. Done with the bullshit is like, I think also like people are more in touch with what time is. Like time, there's a lot of things where I'm like, man, I wish I had taken that more seriously. I can't wait to go back and do those things. Right. Very quickly, things that you like doing were taken away.
Yeah, it puts things in perspective. You get a much better sense of like not taking things for granted.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks, though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Yeah.
Send yours in, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. Hey, J&J, love what you guys are doing for the dating community. I look forward to the podcast every week for my morning commute to work. Yes, still working during this COVID mess. Anyways, I'll jump right into the awkward sex, literally. One night I was out with a couple of my friends and their group of friends. We were all out at a bar dancing, having the best time. I started dancing with this one guy that was my girlfriend's neighbor, and we ended up getting an Uber back to her place. Once we were there, the guy asked me if I wanted to see the view of the beach from his place, so I agreed. Ooh, I love that line.
It's the equivalent of New York City roof guy.
Yeah, want to see the roof? Hey, I got a good view of the beach. He took me upstairs to see, and I couldn't see anything. So he said, "But we live in Ohio. There's no beach. You can see the Atlantic from Cincinnati." So he suggested trying to see from his room. Obviously, I knew where this was heading. As we both walked into his room, I noticed that he had a Gucci duvet cover and pillowcases, as well as a Gucci shower curtain. But wait, there's more. He had Gucci toilet seat cover and toilet mat. I couldn't. Oh my God. I've never hooked up with a Persian person before. Is this what it's like?
Oh my God.
I could not wrap my head around all the effing Gucci and was so vocal about it to him. I asked how this usually goes with his hookups, and he said they've never brought it up before. I ended up sleeping with him.
I'm proud that she brought it up. She's like, yeah. Whoa, you got a lot of Gucci.
You have to bring that up. Whoa, is your last name Gucci? That's what I would say.
That would make it almost weirder.
That's weird. No, if I was Jared Gucci, I'd be walking around. I would be carried by, you know, like a pharaoh. Like I'd be
well,
carried
one is like I'm a big
on...
fan, and the other one is like I'm obsessed with myself.
Or I get a lot of free shit. I don't know. Like,
who needs a toilet seat cover?
There's a point where I agree with you, but there's a point where the third Gucci item is when you're like, let's just make this the whole motif. This is a Gucci life I'm living. Like I understand where it's like two things. You go, oh, hey, that's enough Gucci. Once you get over the hump, then you're like, okay, how do I keep this going? It's actually hilarious to me.
If it's a joke, which
didn't
I don't know.
Sound like it was. Yeah. I ended up sleeping with him as if the Gucci colored red flags weren't enough. And then went into the Gucci bathroom shrine and noticed that he uses chick deodorant. There were two, like a set. So I don't think it was of it being an ex's or anything. His excuse was that he doesn't give off a smell and works better than any guy deodorant. Would love to hear your names. You give this one. My girlfriends and I refer to him as Gucci bedspread. Thanks for all you guys do. So,
I think the weirder the deodorant thing has to be a lie, right?
The deodorant thing.
No one has ever said that women's deodorant is stronger than men's deodorant.
I used to use women's deodorant for a long time.
Why?
The smell was a little bit better. I like the smell. Here's what happened. And this is a lesson to all these women who are sitting there trying to write their own rom-com. I might have told this story before. One time I was out on the road and I went to go get deodorant and the only thing they had left was women's deodorant. Then I met this girl and like she came over and she saw that there was, we had the same deodorant. She was like, oh my God, we have the same deodorant. Isn't that, why do you have women's deodorant? I was like, it's just what I like. And like, she was like, to her, this was like, oh my God. And the same deodorant we're meant to be. And I'm like,
What was it, like, sure. Dove?
Yeah, it was like Dove, like with like hints of eucalyptus or some shit. And I'm like, I was just like, I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter, male or female deodorant. So, like, that's as stupid to me as using a female razor. Like, I don't know. Unless they sponsor the show. Sean, do they sponsor? Okay.
No, they don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard of girls using guys' deodorant because it actually is stronger.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever works for you. To me, like, him having the female deodorant is like the least important detail here. That's like what you like what people do when they like tell a story and then they have to add in like another thing to just bury the guy.
Oh.
And he had female deodorant. Ah! And all the friends.
And he said toodles.
Yeah. Ah! Toodles. We call him Toodles McGucci. You know, like, it's like I the Gucci thing, that's more of like, to me, you're just like, you're tacky.
Yeah. That's if like the definition joke, of tacky.
If it's
tacky,
a joke,
yeah.
You're funny. If it's not a joke, you're tacky. That's the thin line in comedy.
Right. I think for me, just the act of having a toilet seat cover might be the deal breaker, regardless of what.
I think that's so funny. Like a furry cover. Like, where do you even get that?
He had to Google. Ask Jess if she wants one for your apartment.
Well, we have other issues with the seat, with the pee. I peed on the seat and it was like I
have you, but do you put the toilet seat down? Because we've gotten into a recent
I don't put it
discussion
up
about that.
So I go in and I just go and I try to aim as best as I can. Yeah, I go sit and I stand, but I try to like, oh, I'll get it. And sometimes a little drip it drip. And
why don't you just open the thing?
I forgot. Okay. I had a younger brother. I never share. So now I go in there and she goes, come here. And she goes, look at this. Like I was a dog having his face put in it. And she goes, look. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. I must have peed on the seat. She goes, you don't lift it up. I go, I must have forgot. You know, like, I'm sorry. I'm human. So then I go, hold on. I take a tissue paper and I wipe it up and I go, all right, you're all good to go. Have fun. And I walked out and that was the end of it.
And we had the same discussion with him. I feel like he's like regressed because we've lived together for a year and he's never done this before. But now I go in there all the time and the toilet seat is up. And I'm like, what's going on?
This is the thing. And this happens on now I know this is all women because this happens on the podcast a lot. We get emails that are like, what is the deeper meaning of this? And it's like I burnt popcorn. I made popcorn at like 1 a.m. and I'm not proud of myself. I'm not sitting here being, I'm not happy with myself for making popcorn in the 1 a.m. I shouldn't be eating. And I made it, but I burnt it. And it was like, I fucking almost like lit it on fire, but I'd never used the microwave here. So I'm getting used to it. She came out and she was like, what happened? What's going on? It smells in the room. I go, I'm sorry, I burnt the popcorn. She's like, how? You're making popcorn? Why is there popcorn? How could you burn it? I go, it's burned popcorn. What do you want me to do? And she's like, where are we going to do? What are we going to do with the popcorn? I'm like, what do you want me to do? What do you need from me? What do you want me to do? Like say I'm like I'm a fat loser who can't shut his mouth at 1 a.m. Like I have to go into this whole fucking thing. And I was like, just let it be. I made a mistake. What do you want me to do? Cut my hands off because the popcorn burnt. So it's like it always has to be. Like,
we just need to get the men like an electric collar.
Ding. That would help me. That would get
be
me
on
used
the
to
seat.
The,
shock. Yeah.
Shocked.
Burn the popcorn.
What would you call this one?
I don't. What do you think? I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
The fashionable fuck.
Fashionable fuck. Tacky Tim. I kept thinking of
the Gucci
like
grind.
The Gucci grind. Gucci Great Neck Long Island.
Yeah. That is very Great Neck Long Island.
Yeah, because I don't know why this just made me think of like a Persian Jew the minute I read it. I was like, this is definitely.
What
some
if you
guy.
Went back to Jess's apartment and this is what she had? Red flag or deal breaker?
It wouldn't be a. I would
it's
have
not a
lot
joke.
Of,
it's not a joke.
It'd be probably a deal breaker. Like I think when someone has like a name brand, like when I see someone with that belt with the H on it,
Hermes.
Is that what that is? I'm like, ugh, what are you, fucking Superman of douche? Like,
right.
You know, like they wear, and it's like, I
right,
don't
there's
understand
one thing to wear like a higher quality clothing item that yeah. just like is inherently like a nice fabric and looks good. And but I think when you use a label or like when it's too branded or logoed, yeah. it does have a sense of like you're using this to like try to like make a statement about who you are.
You have to let people know that you're the type that can afford Gucci. Like to me, I understand why she's like, why? Like, if it was a joke, it's one thing. It's his college dorm room or whatever the fuck. And he's like, I don't know. I just, you know, it was an 8-for-1 special. Like, I could kind of get it. But, like, the minute this becomes, well, I'm a guy who only wears Gucci, I'm like, okay. Like, I like, it's like with luggage. Like, when I see someone with nice luggage, I'm like, ooh, I like their style. When I see someone with, like, you know,
Louis Vuitton luggage,
like all over it. And it's like they have like the big polo sign shirt. And you're like, I what are you trying to tell me? That's what I would think. That
right. It's not you're not buying this because it's just so much more like high efficiency or like effective at doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. It tells you something about priorities, like, you know, and this is going to come up over the course of a relationship. Are there priorities that it, that the toilet says Gucci or that the toilet works? Like a right. little piece of you has to give minds time to the Gucci instead of the functionality of the Gucci.
Right. You're shouting who you are.
Yeah. Has this ever happened to you? Anything close to this?
I've been turned off by like seeing like men who just like wear too many, like you said, like brands or like, you know, like, just like in your face about it. I agree with you. I think it's tacky and that it has like a sense of like, it's like try hard a little bit. Mm. What about
like,
you?
I do notice the style of women. Like I do know, you know, you want
someone to look put together.
Yeah. You want a thought put in and like, I do like a sense of style. Like I think men do. And I think men like that a woman cares. I think it's a tough world for women in this case where it's like, you have to care, but you have to, you can't
not
care
make
too
it
much.
Seem like you care.
Yeah. And that sucks for women because guys can be a piece of shit with fucking Crocs on and cargo pants. And we're like, oh, look how fun it is. We can dress them up. You know, like this is kind right. of a win for guys, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really like been the person who has like the most put together outfits. So
But when you see like a woman dress up, like if she has like a Gucci purse, let's say, because we're talking about Gucci, I wouldn't be like, oh, look at that show off. I'd be like, oh, this is it. Mm-hmm. And it went with her whole outfit.
So
I'd be
what's
like,
the difference
oh.
between that and the belt?
I guess there's no difference. Like if it was just the belt, I'd be like, okay.
It's one small hint at something.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I don't think this is necessarily fair for women. But like if I right. walked into a bedroom of
I
all
think
Gucci,
I would say the same thing for men though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like, oh, if you notice like one a guy has like a nice watch, you're not like, ugh, what a like loser.
Sure.
But like if you notice that he's got like again, if he's got the belt and the watch.
Well,
and
I guess
like,
I guess there's the you know, a nice watch you see on a guy, that's actually good looking, I would think. That like I would think that's like a status symbol. It's the only way a man can wear jewelry. But if the guy looked at you and goes, yeah, you see this watch, see what I'm working with, you'd be like, ugh. this is kind of gross. Right. I think like
it has to be subtle.
Yeah, I think men brag in a different way. Like even the way this guy talks about his Gucci sheets, you know, like is weird. Like he has to know it's weird. You know, right. Like he has to know that he looks ridiculous. Like, and because he doesn't, then it's kind of a, you know, it's a bad thing.
It's a lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. Then I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
All right, let's do an email.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
All right. Hey, J&J, love the podcast and all the advice you two give. Need some of that advice, please. A guy who I was dating for a few months doesn't want to commit to a serious relationship, so I ended things end of February. Since then, he keeps trying to keep in contact. At the beginning of quarantine, we ended up hanging out every single day for a week straight and only hooked up once during that time. Had another relationship talk, and he's still scared to commit, so I cut him off again and told him that this is where I stand. But now he won't stop sending me Snapchats and Instagram memes or responding to my stories. Why is he doing this? It's obviously not for sex. What does he want out of still reaching out to me? Help me, please, because I'm lonely in quarantine. I don't want to make the wrong choice based on loneliness. I feel like she's one of those girls that we're talking about who like will make some mistakes when this is over because they'll just be like, yeah. I need to be touched.
Well, hopefully she listens to the advice about I'm about to give. Mm-hmm. This guy's... Right now, you have to think of relate like this guy wants you at his convenience. So his convenience is when he's lonely, when he wants to send a meme. I like that she asks why. Like, even though like he's scared to commit, so I cut him off and told him this is where I stand. But now. He won't stop sending me Snapchats, Instagram memes, and responding to my story. Why is he doing this? He's doing this for the same reason you let him back in. Guys feel lonely too. Guys want someone to connect with also. The quarantine starts, all of a sudden he shows up again. Of course he does.
I think it's way worse though for like in this situation for a man to do that. Because I think it's like, if someone has let you know clearly that like your actions are in a sense hurting them or what they want and that you're not giving it to them and they've laid down the thing of like, if you're not ready to commit, I'm not interested. And they can, but still knowing that that person likes them, it seems like kind of predatory to still be reaching out in these small, like micro ways because the person has told you how they feel and you're kind of just like, in essence, still fucking with them for your own benefit, even though you know yeah. that that's detrimental to them.
I agree with you, but if like let's say they're 10 years old and someone's coming up to you with their finger going, "Yeah, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you." At a certain point, you'd walk away from that person. So
she said she did, but then they just I'm not saying like she can't just be like she should block him or do whatever cuz she did say what she did, but I just think like
I think
a lot of guys do this and they're like, well, it's not my responsibility to protect your feelings. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And if you want to protect your feelings, you take care of that. Which is essentially what this guy is saying. It's like, I'm going to keep doing whatever I feel like doing. If you want me to not make you feel bad, you're going to have to actively like, stop me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And like, I think this whole thing of like, you don't want to be a bitch, you want to be nice. Like a lot of women are like, I don't know how it ended. She stared at me, so I cut him off again and told him this is where I stand. When you say this is where I stand, you also have to say, I'm done talking to you. We're not texting. This is over. When
right. You have say, to take it the, like you, to when cut you, off the head.
Yeah, when you say you don't want to commit, when I say I want to be with someone who's committed, that doesn't mean, but I'll also hang with you until I find that person. That's kind of the way he said. The reason he's doing this is because she's nice enough to let him keep texting. She doesn't write back like, go fuck yourself, stop contacting
me. Well,
it's
really, really hard to do that if you really like someone. If you're putting yourself in her position and she like really likes this person, she really wants them to commit, right? They said they won't, but she's still like, that doesn't mean that immediately she's like, oh, like, logically she should just be like, okay, I want nothing to do with you now. It's very hard if you, especially if you've expressed that to the person that you do feel strongly about them, it's very hard to be like, okay, like I'm cutting off your head now. I just think it's kind of like, this is one of those situations that a lot of guys do this sort of thing. And it just seems to me like they get away with it because it's like, oh, she like still allowed me. She didn't like yell at me for continuing to text her, or she didn't like stop me from continuing to text her. They put all the responsibility on us when it's like she already had the initial conversation, and now you're taking this person. It's like, imagine if he's like a drug dealer, right? And she's like, I really want to stop doing this drug because like it's just not good for me. I've tried to live a normal life with it and it's not happening, so I don't want to do it anymore. And then your drug dealer just kept like texting you like, I have the drugs, like, are you sure you don't want them? Like, yeah, you should be like, no, I don't want them. But it's sort of the thing where you're kind of like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I hear you. I'm not saying he's right, you know, like I think he's wrong, but she's like, why is he doing this? You know, like the reason is because she says, dated a guy for a few months, didn't want to commit to a serious relationship, ended end of February. Then since then, he kept trying to get in contact. Beginning of quarantine, we ended up hanging out again. So it worked for him again. I think the problem with these guys is that they don't care enough about losing you. Like, and that sounds weird, but like they don't care enough about losing you. So they're like, hey, I'm here. We can do this casual thing. And if you go away forever, you go away forever. But I'm still here, Mr. Nice Guy. That's why I'll keep sending you the memes, because I don't, you know, he doesn't care about losing her.
He doesn't care about her.
Exactly. He doesn't care about losing her. What he cares
care about,
about
losing her, and he doesn't care about how she feels. He's using her.
Yeah, but I think like he does care about. He's being self-sufficient. He's like, I need someone to make me feel like a good, like make me feel cool, because I know that they are sexually interested in me when I send them a meme. Mm-hmm. Like that is part of it. Like when you send someone and they receive your like funny thing and you write back LOL, part of that is that you've agreed to have sex with them in the past. So they're like, oh, this kind of, it's an ego boost.
Right. But I'm saying I agree with everything you're saying. I just think it's like wrong.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's absolutely wrong.
I think it's become like this socially acceptable thing for men to do, and it does bother me because it's like, yeah, because you can communicate so casually with so many people. It's like now not seen as a big deal, but for someone who's like actively trying to get over someone, I think it's just like, it's like a very selfish thing to do. And like, it takes a long time to realize that those people who text you those memes or try to contact you, that they don't care about you.
Yeah. And they, and the, you know, it's tough to distinguish between, like, I've gotten like it's tough to distinguish between the people that are your friends and the people that you just allow to text you all the time. How many people do you keep up with that you haven't seen in the last year?
None.
None?
I'm trying to think. That I haven't seen physically?
Like, has anyone sent you a DM or sent you like a... a text and you're like, I've been getting all these, like, remember we talked about, like, Wood, the big black penis guy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been getting messages. Now people, like, I'm their go-to to send it to. So I get sent them by, like, people that I've never, like, it's weird because I get sent them by people that I'm friendly with, but they're not my friends. Like, I don't make plans to see them. But they're sending me this meme, which I appreciate that they sent it to me, and I like the laugh. And I write back LOL and it's all well and good. But like, it's this weird thing of like, I wouldn't depend on them. I wouldn't be like, hey, I need a ride to the airport. Like, so like I,
well, so I think like, it's I think different like because you don't have a romantic, there's no like romantic like pull on your end where it's totally. Like, oh, like I felt really hurt by you before. And like, now this is like weird for me.
Totally. I agree with you. And it's way, I'm trying to use the example of like, how this guy could do this the rest of his life. Like he does get something out of, because I'm trying to answer her why. She says, why is he doing this? It's obviously not for sex. What does he want out of still reaching out to me? We have to agree that there is some level of dopamine. There's some level of enjoyment. There's some level of ego, blow, you know, ego pump up that comes out of someone writing back LOL to the funny meme you sent them.
Right.
And that's what he gets, as small as that is, with an option to fuck. So you could at any time, he cares so little about her that he's like, and I'm here. I'm not saying it's right. I think like, and I'm not going to blame her, but I also would say to her, like, you have to take drastic measures for against a person that is not your friend. Like to unfollow and to block him after you've made it clear, hey, we're done. I think also saying to him, hey, we're done. I have no hard feelings for you, but right now for you to keep messaging me, it hurts me. It is bringing me back in time and I want to move forward. So I am going to block you and please respect my space. Like, that seems like an extreme thing, but that's not even, this person's not your friend. He's not your family member. You deserve to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I agree with that. I don't think you should have to, but I think that that's something that you need to do. I think it sucks that it's so socially acceptable for people to do that after you've clearly stated that you want something more from them. I think it is really fucked up, and I don't think you should have to tell them to stop doing that. They should know. But I agree, like if they're not aware enough to realize that, then you should tell them that very clearly.
So I have a question, because this is actually like, it's on topic. Let's say you're dating someone, they say, I'm not ready to commit. You guys move on. A year goes by. That person's in a relationship. You're in a relationship. That person sees a meme that, however they get connected to it, makes them think of you. Is that okay to send?
No. Think of me in your head. I don't need to know that you're thinking of me.
Okay. I agree with you, but like that comes up more often than not.
It's just like it's kind of just like, what is the person real? Like, they really needed to see that because it was so funny that like their day is made that much better by seeing it, that it negates the fact that they're hearing from this person who like, who has like brought up, they've had a sort of negative encounter with. Like, it just seems, it's fine to think of someone and see something. You don't have to act on it.
I know, but it's like, it's because we have this like technology in front of us that makes it seem like I agree with you, but I also like do understand the road those people are going down where they're like, oh, I got the,
they're,
I can bring up the number in 2 seconds. Like to them,
right.
Like sometimes all these people in your phone get mushed together. Like sometimes like, I'm not saying I'm doing this. I'm not like going and texting exes like that. I don't do that. I'm on the side of when it's over, move forward. Any backwards to them is not right. I've gotten texts in the past from exes being like, hey, saw this, thought of you, hope you're well.
Oh, bye. Yeah.
Like I think that text, I think you have to write it that way to make it okay. You have to go, saw this, thought of you, hope you're well, good luck with everything. Like, you have to make it sound like it's a check-in.
With men who do that, I can promise you one thing. With men who do that, and I've gotten a lot of men who have done that.
Yeah.
It's never, hope you're well, enjoy this totally free. I don't expect any response. Like,
It's a bad entree back in. And I think that's what this guy's doing, where he's always offering the contract that he offered that you said right. No to. So he's every time it's a meme, it's like, hey, thought of you with an option to buy.
Yeah.
Into the situation that I've let you know that I do. And that's why they've already done it once.
Yeah. I get it. It's just like, to me, it seems like a very selfish thing. And I get that, like, you're not responsible for someone else and how they take things. But I think that if you're a good person, that's sort of like a nice thing to do, is to think about how someone that you're messaging will receive that message.
I'm with you. Let's do another email. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Hi, J&J. Love you both so much. Listen religiously. Come to Kansas City so I can see you at a show. My boyfriend and I have an amazing relationship, are getting ready to move in together, and are talking marriage. I've been staying with him since the stay-at-home orders in my state went into place a month ago. Everything has been going really well, but I've noticed something that seems kind of strange. He can be kind of sketchy about his phone. Not always. Sometimes he shows me convos, pics, etc., but often enough that I've started to notice. For example, he always brings it with him when he gets up to use the bathroom or move rooms, places it face down when he sets it down, tilts the screen away from me when I'm close to him, etc. Neither of us has the other person's phone code, so I couldn't even snoop if I wanted to. I didn't think too much of it until last night.
Not that I've thought about it.
Yeah, nothing. So that's off the table. We were snuggling. Then I got up real quick to get a drink, and when I came back, I noticed he was deleting entire conversations.
That's the part.
Okay. We were at the top of his conversations, so it's not like he was clearing things to open up storage on his phone. It made me feel uncomfortable, but I didn't want to say anything on the spot or be irrational in the moment. I'm kind of the person who approaches things better after taking a step back and processing them. My question is, do I say something? And if I do, how do I approach the topic with grace? I don't want to go through his phone or try to catch him, but isn't it kind of sketchy that he's acting that way? Any advice is appreciated. What do you think?
I think the part before the deleting conversations thing was like, okay, like sometimes people are just like a little more private, or that can also just be kind of like a habit. If you've been around people where you just,
I read all the things and I was like, so I read all the things and he uses it in the bathroom. Check. I do that.
Yeah.
Takes it with him to different rooms. Check, I do that. Places it face down when he sets it down. Yeah, check. Sometimes I do that. Tilts the screen away from me when I look close to him. I've have that initial reaction sometimes with nothing to hide.
Right.
So like even that, I'm like, okay, the deleting conversations thing.
That part, that's where it starts to get like sketchy.
Yeah, that's where I'm out, because the only reason I can like see his side of that is if he's like, again, going back to our last email, I got this text out of the blue. It's not something I want to explain. It's not something I even care about, but I just don't want it there for the off chance that you see it and you ask me questions about it and there's no real answer I could give.
Right.
Out of the blue, you had an ex text you and you were like, this is fucking weird, but I don't even know why. And then you deleted it. I would understand that.
I think there are rational explanations for it. I don't think it necessarily means he has like a second family.
Sure.
But,
yeah. I'm with you.
but she should bring it up. Yeah. I don't think it's something that would be like so crazy sounding of a person to bring up. And I understand. I think we get this email a lot, why it kind of feels like, oh, if I didn't bring it up in the moment, did I like lose my chance of,
oh no,
of like, of talking about something? Or does it make me, I think this is a fear that we have of like, does it make me sound even crazier to bring up something that happened like more than 5 hours ago?
Sure.
Because then it's like, oh, I've been sitting here like, then I'm like, oh, I'm the crazy woman who's been sitting here stewing and then is like ready to.
I think that's a better way to go about it. Like, I think the worst way to go about it is to make him this like phone devil. Like, I think our answer to this email is going to help her the most, because what happens is when someone's being accused, they'll go, everyone uses their phone in the bathroom. Stop being like that. But if you say to him, hey, I saw you delete a conversation. I didn't want to see it. But I've never done that before on my phone, and I don't know who you would need to delete from me, but it just made me feel badly, and I've been thinking on it for a couple days.
Right. I agree with you. I would make it about you and how you feel about it, not like accusing him of being like you. And I think the wrong way to do it is like, you seem kind of really sketchy with your phone. I don't know why you do that. Like, what are you hiding from me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then it makes it more about like the actual actions, when it's really about the way that whatever you saw made you feel. And then you leave it in his boat to like, again. And again, I also think it's very telling the way someone responds to that. The way someone responds to something that you present in a way that is like super rational and like is feelings first, I think tells you a lot about them.
Yeah.
So if she does what you did when she says, you know, like, I happened to see this, I didn't mean to see it, it made me feel this way, and then he's like, well, you're crazy. Like,
that means there's something. Yeah, there's something right. off. Yeah. The minute you get emotional, the minute it's over.
Right. But if he's like, oh, like, I'm sorry about that. Like, it was, again, even if it was like some weird ex converse like thing, and I just kind of like, or even if he was like, oh, I kind of panicked, it was like someone who texted me that was weird from my past, and I just didn't really feel like,
yeah,
like you would, like, I didn't know if you'd understand, so I just thought it was easier to just get rid of it. Like
that, and that's like when you ask, like, well, who's that friend, and they go, why are you asking about my friends, I can't have female friends? Or they go, yeah, we went to high school together. She's been in like my grander group for a long time. We used to go to the same parties. Right. She's married, two kids. Like, totally different reactions that mm-hmm. give you kind of like a little view into their thinking.
Right.
But I think the
what if his reaction was like, oh, I kind of just delete conversations like now and then when I kind of feel like they're over. I don't like having conversations in my phone. Like, what if it's like not a antagonistic response, but it kind of also seems like really weird and random.
I guess that's something to put into the basket of how you judge this person. Like, right. Like at that point,
Exhibit A, in a case down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Because right. you can't really go, well, that's weird. You can say, well, that's weird. I didn't even know you did that. Like, I'd be like, I didn't even know you did that. And they go, no, I do it all the time. I do it with your conversations. Oh, okay. Good to know. I had no idea. Then a month later, you can go, hey, I haven't seen you delete one fucking conversation. It's still on my mind. Like, I would, like, you know, because that's the type of lie where then that person is signed up for a lifetime of lying. So right. I think, like, for her, she's about to move in with this guy. They're getting their first taste of what it's like to live with each other during this quarantine thing. And, you know, I think also it takes some getting used to from his side. Like, he has to get used to, like, oh, I can't be texting these people. I have no explanation for that person I keep texting.
Right. I mean, I would hope that if they're moving in together, he's gotten to that stage already, but yeah, perhaps but he hasn't.
Maybe you become face to face with it when you get to that point, you know, right. like where he's like, yeah, I text with this ex, but I never really think anything of it. But now that you're here, I'm like, man, this is really crazy and stupid that I'm still texting with this person.
Right.
I can understand that. Let's play some games. You ready?
All right. Ready? Red flag or deal breaker? Your girlfriend has applied for The Bachelor in the past before we dated and says it is her dream to be on it. For reference, we have a great relationship and we are considering moving in together.
This is a fine. Like, does she still want to be in it?
She says it's her dream to be on it.
I mean, the thing is, with The Bachelor, Bachelorette, like, it is so not about dating. It's so about the other stuff. And, like, I could see how someone has rationalized that into, like, I just want to play Survivor. You know, like,
right.
Someone who goes on the Survivor isn't obsessed with living on a deserted island. They're obsessed with winning. But I'm not.
Survivor is not a dating competition.
Sure. I understand this. I mean, if they had auditioned in the past, that's nothing to me. I'm like, that's hilarious. Let me see the audition tape. But if they were like, and I'm still going on, I'd be like, all right, well, this is a deal breaker. I got to get out of this.
I think I'd be out just because, like, I think it's okay to have auditioned. I think the audition tape, fine, especially if it was like a very casual, not super thought out thing. But it is their dream to be on it. I'm a very big proponent on judging someone based on what their hopes and dreams are. And I think it says a lot about you if that's your dream.
I have a dream. I want to be the guy that. So College Game Day is the pregame show on ESPN for all the college football games. Mm-hmm. So my dream is every College Game Day they have a celebrity picker. My dream is to get big enough in my comedy career. I don't need to get any bigger than this. Big enough where I can do the picks at a Penn State game. And then I have this, like, I already know what I'm going to do and how I'm going to dress and what I'm going to do to make the pick. Like, I have the.
You already have your outfit?
The outfit, the whole joke, the performance. I've seen it already. That's my dream. And, like, it ends with me being, like, ridiculous. Like, that's a stupid dream.
But no, it's not really. That's not. I don't think it's the same because that's like, okay, like if that your dream is to get so big that like that will be the signal for you that you know that you've made it, right?
Okay, yeah.
It's not like your dream is to do that for a living, like every day. Like that's your job. Yeah, like, yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, it would count. Like, is your reason that you're just like want to see what it's like to be on The Bachelor, or is it because you're like. You're dreaming of Instagram celebrity status. Like those are two different dreams that kind of suck differently to me.
Right. They're both kind of bad, but like the Instagram one is probably worse because it's like, oh, my dream is to like, you know, sell FabFitFun boxes and look beautiful on Instagram and then like hang out with all the Bachelor people. Like, you know.
Hannah Ann from last season is like a follower of mine and I follow her and she's been very nice and she like watches my stuff and like certain posts. But I watch what she does now and it's like almost like she's in a like the stuff
that she's a cult.
Well, a cult, but she's also like it's almost like she's performing what the script you'd write to make fun of a post-Bachelor life to be. Like, she's, right. like, got all the different, you know, she has every single, like, cliche sponsor. She's teaching me how to put on skin cream. She's, you know, like, and you're like, right. that
That's
was
what I'm
the
saying.
Dream?
That's why I said it's, like, a cult. It's, like, once you get, like, once you get to, like, the top three of The Bachelor, it's, like, you're given your FabFitFun sponsorship. You're given, like, the, like, filters that you need. That are to like the presets for the filters for the, all your Instagram pictures and you're given like, it's almost like, I feel like there's a handbook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a college handbook. Like here's your duvet cover and here's
you're going to put sea salt on chocolate chip cookies and tell people as if it was your idea.
Right.
We're
going to need like three pictures with your hand in the right, in the correct pose, like out within the next 2 weeks. I don't know. I just feel like there's, that's the cult-esque thing. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, okay, that's fine to have that be your dream. I think it would just be a deal breaker for me because it would just like not mesh with like anything that would make sense. Would be like, I would respect but like maybe someone doesn't like my dreams. So I think that's fine. My friend's been talking to a guy on Bumble and he asked what her cross streets are. And then a few minutes later sent a selfie in front of her street sign and asked her to chat outside 6 feet apart. Cute or creepy? P.S. They haven't talked on the phone or FaceTimed.
Creepy. Out. I don't like when people take advantage of another person's time. And it's very easy to do right now. You can go, like, if you were like, hey, let's do a FaceTime date. How's Tuesday at 8? And then the person's like, well, I can't do it. And you go, well, what else do you have to
what
do?
Else you doing?
Yeah, it's like, well, you're a piece of shit, ballsy asshole. So anyone showing up to my street corner in any context, I could know the guy 100 years. I'd be like, never speak to me again. Get the fuck away from me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I agree. What, it's like, not romantic.
What world is this? No, it's not romantic. You're taking advantage. Never,
showing up to someone's apartment in any capacity, even if you've been dating them, I think is still kind of taking advantage and weird. Like,
absolutely. I'm against
no
it.
No one wants to be surprised.
No, I don't want any surprises. I don't want guess who this is when you text me. Fuck off.
Right.
Fuck off. Stop wasting my time. I'll go, like, if I get a text from a number I don't know, I go, who is this? And they go, oh, you don't know? I block right away. Goodbye. Get the fuck out of my life. I don't want to
definitely don't know now.
No, yeah. I don't even care. Let's do one more.
All right.
Red flag deal breaker. My boyfriend refuses to watch any movie or show unless it's a superhero movie or action-packed. I personally like movies that make me think or relate to social issues, and he absolutely refuses to watch them. I have tried to watch his movies with him, but when I do, I just feel like my brain is rotting. And it's kind of the stuff kids I babysit would like. Tonight he watched Aquaman for a third time. That movie's bad. Aquaman is like legitimately one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Tonight I asked him if he would watch SNL with me, and he immediately said no. It feels like he isn't willing to broaden his horizons, but I'm wondering if I should let it go or take it as a sign that we are fundamentally different people with different maturity levels. He's 25 and I'm 28, so there is a age gap there. Thanks for all the laughs and advice. What do you think?
I think it's fine. I think you're allowed to have, and if that's the only part where this quote unquote maturity issue is showing itself, that's not real. That's like an interest. You don't build a relationship based on shared interests. You build one based on shared values, in my opinion.
Okay.
So if it's like, oh, he just really likes action movies and he's just really not entertained by anything else. And like, I'm sure there's certain movies that or music or things that Jess likes that you're just like, go enjoy that. I don't really
sure,
want to
but
do that.
Don't you think it's worrisome that he's not even trying? Like I
in the beginning, maybe, but I think it's kind of like after he's probably seen one of those movies before and hated it.
Yeah, but like even SNL, you don't even know what's going to come. She's like, she's trying and Saturday Night Live is all comedy. So like, their intent is to make you laugh, whether it's social or not. She's inviting you to a comedy show, and you're just like, nope, give me Aquaman right now. And I do think she's being a little judgy of his stuff. I
like the intellectual things that discuss social issues.
Like, yeah, she sounds a little bit like annoying about it, but I think to me, it's the whole idea that she doesn't even like my girlfriend likes fish. I went to a fish concert. I enjoyed it. We watched Harry Potter. She loves Harry Potter. I watched it the other night. I'd never seen the last three movies. So we watched the last three. I am very annoying to watch movies with. If you've watched my, Bachelor live screams, that's what it's like to watch a movie with me. So there's a part of it where like every time Dumbledore comes up, I just do something like I start screaming horrible things about Dumbledore and like doing his voice, and it's like, yeah, I don't mean to make that unenjoyable for her, but at least I'm trying. I'm doing it the way I would do it. Like, okay, he might watch those social commentary things, and like, you know, like the fact that he gives it no weight, that's a deal breaker to me.
I don't know. You don't have anything where you're kind of like, I just have no interest in seeing that at all. And I just like, I know myself and I know I've seen it before. And I just like really like that. Like, I'm totally cool if you like those things, but I just like don't really want to. Like, I'll get golf, for example. Like, Mike plays golf, right? And I'm just kind of like, that's great. Go play with your friends. Like, I am not going to go play with you. Like, I'm really but not. It's not something that I have any interest in doing.
Totally. He wouldn't ask you to go play 18. He would say,
okay.
He would say, hey, Sunday, I'm going to go like to the golf range. Would you want to like drink beers and we can like have fun doing it? Like, I think there's like an entrance into that world, like that you wouldn't be like, fuck your golf, I don't do golf. I think she can make it appetizing, and she is trying. It seems like she's like, listen, you might not want to watch the documentary about the, you know, the Flint water crisis, but will you watch SNL? And like,
I see what you're saying in that sense. I think like giving it a try with someone, especially in the beginning, is like a nice thing to do. But I also think like it's okay to have a thing that's like your own thing, and someone else sure. have a thing that's your own thing. And you have as long as you have other things that you both really enjoy doing together, I think it's fine and even healthy to have like completely separate interests in certain arenas, and that you don't have to, just because the person you're with likes something doesn't mean that like you're not supportive of them because you don't fully engage in the activity either.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. I just, the way she wrote this email, it feels like it's like a, he's like, no, like just sitting there with like right. the, you know, the
yeah,
food
I mean, it
in front
depends. Right. If he's like, hey, like, I mean, like I'll sit here, I might be on my phone a little bit, but like we can watch, but it's not really my thing. I think that that would be like fine, because I would feel the same way about someone making me watch an action movie.
Sure. Yeah, I think you, I don't know. I think it would be different. Like
Jess was like, I love the ballet, and like I just go every Sunday, I go to the ballet, and like I want you to take a class with me.
I would
Is there nothing where you would be like, that's just I really not my thing. I just
No, there's nothing. I think I would give everything at least, I think giving it one shot is okay. Like,
okay, one. So if he said, I'll watch one thing.
Yeah,
and
if
that's
you were
it.
Like, but like, you gotta just, I think if you make it edible for someone, I think that's a part of it too, where you're like, hey, I know you hate this stuff usually, but like this one movie, I think it would be really fun if we watched it together. Like, and it's about this, and you really like Aquaman, and this is about, you know, like the fish in the water. Like, I don't know. Like,
right. Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
Hard no's are always a bit of a deal breaker for me.
That's fair.
So
okay. All right. Jared Free, King of Compromise.
The King of that's right. Yeah. New man. I move in with one girlfriend.
You're trading in brunch for compromise.
That's right.
yeah.
This was a blast. It's great to see you, Jordana. Always a pleasure. Anything going on for you guys? What's the big story at Betches?
Well, we just launched our Bravo podcast. So if you're a fan of, I know you just started watching The Real Housewives. If you're interested, you should check that out.
They lost me at season 4. I go.
You got to get back in. You got to get back in. It's like
fan.
you can't let a bad season deter you, because it's just like.
I think you're right.
Towards the end, it gets great. Hang in there. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Boom. Share.
Bye.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram. And email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.